No, what I said was that's the way it should be, and she said if Paula hears it, what?
She will be on my side. I don't think so. She will take your side, you know.
Well, I gotta work in the office.
You can work in the office. That doesn't mean your boy means, you know,
well,
there's something
saying
career.
Just like I don't do anything.
Great. You know.
Anyway,
sometimes, you know, you should, you know, work in
the
home.
I do, but
you don't.
All day long. Look after almonds.
Oh.
That's why I think this sister law should come.
Yeah, you think girls means they are like stone bodies. Nothing happens. they can work all day long.
Well, I'm just glad they do.
Well, that's why, you know, sometimes I scold him, yeah, very hard, you know.
Sometimes.
Okay, always, you know, but that is your fault. What can I do? You know, I work so hard and you don't help me, so.
I do.
When? You don't.
I do.
Yeah, you do help me in eating. I don't think so. Anyway. Now I'm trying to make him really, you know, straight, you know, you can see, you know. I used to be really, you know, okay, he's unhappy, okay, he should be in his way, but now I don't.
Tough cookie, that's what they say.
Huh?
That's what they say in America, you're a tough cookie.
All right, whatever they say, let them say.
Anyway. So lots of love to everybody from us here. And we don't have any recent pictures to send you yet, but maybe after a little while I'll finish off a roll of film and send it off to you. Anything else?
Anything else?
If
you want to hear, you know, scolding, I can talk more on that.
We don't want to hear about that.
You
so
don't?
Love to each one. Well, Ellen, happy birthday. Cutie pie. And Paula and Steve, George, Marcy, Grandma, Mom and Dad.
Hope Ellen would love that present.
Yeah, we don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know whether this is too
advanced for
a three-year-old or not advanced enough. We just know.
But just to, you know, remember Paula, you know that bottom part you should put in some rubber pieces. You know,
she said that's a little sharp on the bottom.
Yeah, I was.
The
really
guy in the
worried.
Store said the people usually nail this to their wall. That's how they hang these up, but I just didn't think y'all would want to do that. So this has a little stand to it, but the bottom piece is a little sharp. You might put a little piece of rubber or some tape on the bottom there.
Something you should do.
But it's stainless
steel.
It's not aluminum. So.
Yeah, but even that I'm a little worried about.
Okay. Goodbye, y'all.
Yeah, and next time when I come in, I can teach, you know, Ellen how to cook because she got all parts, but I don't know, you know, how.
Those round, flat. Uh-oh, here he comes.
Come here, Ammon.
What happened? What happened? What happened? Come here and say goodbye to Ellen. Marinoth what? He came in to tell
really
us something.
He's really upset. He texts everybody's
name.
He
doesn't say uncle. He says, what? Marinoth? He gave you those chubby keys?
No, he was taking
them. He was
away
taking
from
away from you? Say goodbye now. We're going. Come here. Say goodnight to Ellen and Paula.
Come here.
Say it right here. Can you say loudly? Goodnight. Goodbye. Come here.
Say goodbye.
Can you say goodbye? Right here. Say it. Very loud. Say good.
Bye-bye.
Oh, he fell down. Can you say it?
Yeah.
Say goodbye. Say bye. Say bye-bye.
Say bye-bye.
Dad. That's a microphone. Can you say bye-bye?
Don't touch. Say bye-bye.
Here, listen. It'll come out here. See, when I talk, see, it comes in the microphone. Then you say bye-bye.
Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Ellen. Say bye-bye, Ellen.
Good night.
Ellen.
Good night, Ellen. Say.
Dad.
That's a microphone. Say mic.
You're not going to say it yet?
No.
Oh, you were saying yes.
Well, it looks like we got a dirty diaper to contend with right now. So on that happy note, we'll leave you. Bye-bye. One thing we forgot to mention on the tape was that when we came from Pune in a taxi, then we switched to a rickshaw at the bus stand. And when we came in the rickshaw and Amin saw his grandfather, he from inside the rickshaw, he's looking out, and his grandfather, Balji, was looking at him. He was so startled and so happy to see him. His eyes just got big, and his hands went out just like asking, "What is this?" And he couldn't talk. He just was so surprised that after going around so many rickshaws in Pune, then here all of a sudden in a rickshaw, here was his grandfather after 8 days not seeing him. It was really funny. He was just so happy he couldn't talk.
Okay, what did you really want to know? Do you have specific dates or occurrences or what? Well, the other day you found out that we went on a Friday to teach at Henry. Right? Then we met Baba. And the following Saturday we went back again. We found out even though you have appointments, it was kind of open and you could come back and see Baba, just come in. So I called my sister, Ginny Sadowski. And she managed to come in and bring in Didi. Yeah, Gloria, right. And she came in with her daughter.
And how old was the daughter?
Didi was 9, I think, then. And she's here now, Didi.
Yeah.
And she brought in a bird. She used the pretense that a bird had to come into a sort of a vet-type person. What turned out, he didn't know anything. He didn't even know what kind of bird it was. But anyway, she uses an excuse to come in, and as long as I'm there, I might as well go see Baba. You know? So she met Baba, too, through the bird. And she even brought the bird in, because Adele Wolken, I think, said, oh, Baba loves animals, bring the bird in. So she did, and Baba went, you know, like this. She thought Baba knew everything, and that without knowing anything about him, really.
Before you had gone in, you had read that?
I had read God speak, yeah. Henry and Keech and I had been interested in this something called cosmic consciousness, and it's Dr. Walter Russell. And from then on, I mean, we just branched out into anything we put our hands on to read, you know. Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East, Ramakrishna and Vedanta. In the window at I saw the book in the window at Doubleday on Fifth Avenue. I was looking in the street and the subway for my master, and I was very impressed with the picture of Bob on the cover, and I liked the title, and so I looked at the book and I saw this man knows what he's talking about, even though I don't know what he's talking about, and I took the book home and. Realized that Keech and Henry might like a copy. So a week later, it was just before Christmas in 55, I went back, picked up another copy for them, but they didn't have it in the window, they didn't have it in the store, they had it in the basement. The salesman had to go downstairs to get it. So, I mean, a week later, I would have missed it. I sent it to Keech and Henry, and I was perfectly happy to sit home and read the book, but Henry wanted to meet Baba. So he got in touch with India somehow. I don't know how he did it, some detective work, I guess. And I found out Baba was coming in the summer of 56 at the Hotel Delmonico, made appointments for us all, so we went in.
So when you saw them, were you three together?
No. I think we went in individually. I'm not sure if Keech and Henry went in together.
I think he said that she went shopping, or that might have been the next day. Yeah, she had some answers, so he went out and she dropped you all off. What did he
say? Uh-huh. And maybe she did. I didn't remember. Teacher? Uh-huh. I didn't remember that. All I remember is when I came out after meeting Baba, they were sitting in the lobby. I drew a picture of the hotel as I remember it. This was a mezzanine floor. And you came in through here, and there was a desk there, and Ella was there. And she had the appointment list, and she was selling books, too. And then we went in. Baba was sitting here at the end of the room. I think it was a mezzanine, one floor up. You went into this room, then this way, and then they let you back out here, and then you'd come back in here and look at books or talk with other people.
A door,
a doorway.
This is a separate room.
That was a separate room. Yeah. Yeah.
This is a window?
I don't remember. I don't remember. The room seemed dark except for light at the end where Baba was, and I kept looking around for a spotlight.
Yeah.
When
so
I got
what
up.
What happened there when you went in? What was the first impression?
Well, as I was walking in, I thought I was looking for spotlights because that end of the room was lit up where Baba was, and I just was automatically looking for spotlights around. And at the same time, I had very significant thoughts about my own life going through my head, just like before you drown or something, you know. And then as I got to Baba, I realized that the light was coming out of him, and his cheek was the texture of persimmon or something, very soft, silky, but the light was glowing from inside. I introduced myself to Erich, and Baba, the first thing Baba asked me, I always learned everything from books, mm-hmm. reading. I wanted to fix a car, I'd read a book. If I wanted to do this, I'd read a book. And Baba said, have you read any of my books? And I said, yes. And he said, well, keep reading my books, and you'll know eternal bliss and joy. I said, okay, Baba. And he gave me a grape, and I went out. At that point, I realized that... I had been looking in my search for spiritual things really is an escape from life. And I realized at that point that I went to a master and he's not just going to touch me and I'm going to have gravitation and escape the whole thing. But in that instant, I knew just for that the 1 minute meeting with him that I had to live my life and go through it. And as I went around under the mezzanine floor and back in, I looked back into the room and I could see Bob at the other end. And I realized even though I had to live my own life, it was, I had to follow him. And as I went out into the mezzanine, Henry was sitting there, and he was munching the grape, too, and he was babbling something, I don't know what. He had been first, because he was sitting in that chair when I came out. And then the next day when I came in again, I said, Baba had... I was alone. The second day, my sister went in ahead with the bird and her little girl. Then I followed. Yes. I could guess. And then she went out into the hallway, and I sat down. Bob had me sit in the chair, and he patted my hand. And I felt very self-conscious because he wasn't talking, just patting my hand and smiling. He was on a divan.
And you were in a chair.
I think that I was on the end of the divan sitting. I'm not sure. And he kept patting my hand, and I thought, well, he's not saying anything. You know, I felt uncomfortable. I said, not this man. And I said to Erich, I kept looking up at Erich going back and forth, you know, because Erich was interpreting. And I said, I was here yesterday. And Baba smiled and patted my hand. And I said, my name is Elizabeth Sakalif. And he patted my hand and smiled. Suddenly, I leaned over and kissed him on the cheek. And I thought, what am I doing kissing this complete stranger on the cheek? You know, the thoughts would go through your mind. But as I kissed him, I realized that he was all the people I had loved all of my life. And he gave me another grape, but I went out. And so I've been a follower ever since. And my sister, of course, has been a follower, too.
What did you say? No, she brought the bird in along with her. She brought the bird because she was coming from New York.
Yes, as an excuse. I called her on Friday and said, no, she was bringing it was an injured robin. She was bringing it into a man who's supposed to be a bird man who knew something about him. But when she, in a cage. And when she brought the bird, he didn't even know what a robin was. So the whole thing was a fiasco. But it was. That's right. And otherwise, I wouldn't have thought she could come into New York because she was a housewife and her husband was invited to come and he opted to stay home and work on the house or something. And never became a Baba follower. But it's always these choices you make just at that one instant that really can change your whole life.
So 1756.
Yes.
So you all didn't go down.
No, the funny thing was that when we heard that you could go to Myrtle Beach, we were not disappointed because we thought we got all that we could. Every time I ever met Bob, I always had the feeling that he's given me enough to assimilate and to chew on for a whole lifetime. And I thought, that's it, even if I never see him again. But then after a year or two when the stuff filters in and then you start to want to see him again. But he was always completely satisfying for that moment. No, they were mostly with my sister. We went in as a group and a family. And we discussed our family with him, our parents. Yes, and Dee Dee. Dee Dee was there. We discussed. That's right. Just the two of them. But in Myrtle Beach, we were like the Bobbsey twins. We were like two amoebas that came out from the two amoebas that had split.
So, anything other than personal
family? No, but I do have a couple of other stories of people who we brought with us. And I don't know, they haven't been in the Baba group, so they scattered all over the country. 58. I have to take a cough drop. I picked up a bug. And I slept with the window open a couple of nights and paid for it. There was this one woman, Johanna Smith, great big strapping German woman. Do you know anything about her?
Yeah, in fact, I just looked at Adele after what happened, and I didn't know what about it because she came to India.
Did she come to India?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
In 59 or something. And she was the one that Baba took her out of the garden and pointed to that tree and said, this is from me.
Really? I didn't know. I didn't know that she had done it, because we lost complete contact with her.
Well, she came to India, and yeah. Baba took her around the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that tree where Baba's face appeared?
Yes.
He was showing her around the garden.
Uh-huh.
And he pointed to that tree and said, I really like this tree. Meryl was watching from the window.
Mm-hmm.
And after, she said, I really like that tree.
Mm-hmm.
And then Baba got the body and then his face appeared.
Appeared in the tree, I know.
But I also wondered how she happened to come to India. I wrote to Bell, and you know what she is now?
No, that's the thing. We have no idea what happened to her. We've heard she's gone to other groups. We've heard all kinds of things. So I don't. Well, the meeting, she was a neighbor or friend of the woman and husband I lived with in Chappaqua, New York. And she had been in Vedanta. And when she met Baba, she came into the lagoon cabin, and she sat down in front of Baba, and Baba said, tell me all about the studies that you've been making. She was very intellectual. And Johanna started, I don't know where it came from her depths, all these words kept coming out and out, you know, about Vedanta and the philosophies and this, that, and the other thing. And she seemed to get more and more scrambled, and her glasses got crooked, and her hair started to pop out.
Mm-hmm.
I was there watching this whole thing. And finally, Baba said, those were all words, words, words. Don't you know that all that matters is God and love for God? And she threw herself down at Baba's feet and practically went into tears and then got up and left. But it's just the way that, you know, from the intellectual to how Baba broke her down.
Right.
And she really came unglued. I've never seen anything like it. It was like the hair, the bobby pin is lying out, the glasses crooked. She's such a big, strong woman, you know. Very funny.
Yeah.
And there was another friend, Olivia Malm. And A-H-A-N, yeah. Well, she came, I was living in her house in Chappaqua at the time, and she came to Baba by... we were shopping in the supermarket, and my sister went in there to the supermarket and had, for no reason at all, decided at the last minute to grab a copy of Avatar. Or was it Avatar? Or no, I think it was Charles Purdom, got, which is the large one with the blue cover, and Baba's on the cover. Well, it was one of Baba's, you know, one of the early books, either Purdom's or Avatar. And for no apparent reason, my sister went back in the house, grabbed the book, and took it with her into the supermarket when she got there. And in Westchester County in those days, you didn't flaunt it, a picture of the Avatar or anything like that, because they, you know, people think you're insane. And she put it in the shopping basket and was going around the A&P with it. And right over the meat counter, Olivia saw the book, and she said, who's that? And Jenny started to tell her who he was, and she was afraid she was going to be. He might be strangled on the spot. And Olivia was in a desperate strait. She was about to be initiated into Vedanta, and she wasn't sure whether she wanted to be or not. And she had to make up her mind by the next day. And here my sister takes the Avatar into in the shopping cart, and she sees it at the A&P. So that's how American Housewives hear about Baba at the supermarket.
I have her name,
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was one other. Let me just see if I can see. There's some other from New York that had a lot.
Mm-hmm. She was one of them there, yes. Yes. She came to in 62, too, I think. Uh-huh. I didn't know all their names.
Anyway, do you, any other...
No, that was our main crew.
62
No, just one at a time at in front of Bob up on the stage there on the platform.
Did you remember some humorous things that happened between
58? Oh, there were always humorous things happening. I don't know, so many times I told things to Baba in seriousness, and then he'd end up laughing. Like, he asked me, I had a big stomach ache when I got here in India. I think it was just exhaustion from, going 48 hours before we got here. And he said, how was your stomach when I got in front of him? And I realized, at the end of the platform, before I got in front of Baba, I had the stomach ache. As I got in front of Baba, I had to stop and think. The stomach ache was gone, and I told him that, and he laughed and laughed and thought it was so funny. And then I went on. On the stage at Guru Prasad. And when I got to the end of the stage, the stomach ache came back again. Yeah. But he laughed. He thought it was so amusing.
Do you know anything about this woman, Marilyn Pollock and Mariana Fuller?
No. No, and I'm terrible at names and dates. If I saw her face, I might be able to say, yes, I remember her.
Do you remember changing the record player in 58?
Mm-hmm.
Baba asked you.
I don't.
Any call, or do you
want
to go out for some other call?
Yes, he asked everybody. That was in the barn, I guess, wasn't it? Yes, because we also had the phonograph going at the children's birthday party. And we just carried it around different places.
Which one you had brought with you?
Yes, I built it. It was a Heath kit, and I built it. And it was one of the furious things I was doing at the last minute, trying to get this thing going. For the Sahara, yes, it was a new Heathkit Hi-Fi, and I was building it to take down there. People brought records. We brought some, other people brought some. And all kinds of records from Bach to Begin the Begin, just to play, and Baba selected what he wanted. Marian Anderson, he played a lot of Marian Anderson. We still have the original record. Yeah. No, not necessarily, no. No, he just, one interesting story, when we were in the barn one day, it was an intermission, like, people would let people get up, Bob would let people get up and rest and stretch, and he had a little flower in his lap. I came in the room and sat down. He had a beautiful little wildflower, and he was twirling it in his hand, and then he went like this, and the flower flew and landed in one of the woman's lap. She was sitting with a skirt on and landed right in her lap, and, a little bit later, I went outside and found one of the same wildflowers. And I picked it up, and it was full of thistles and thorns, little spike-like things. And his Baba was twirling, and he was removing them and threw them into the woman's lap.
Sure. Anne also tells about in her story when you all seeing her off. And talking about
how, oh, yeah.
I'm so happy. Do you remember that table that you got from that Baba wrote the table?
Yeah. Yes, such love for a friend. Something about such love for a friend makes Baba very happy. Those aren't the exact words.
Well, there's another one. Baba says, because you've helped me come to Baba, and you've made Baba come closer to you.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So,
yes, except that Baba used to stir up jealousies, too. And one of the cables we got was signed, Love to You, Elizabeth. No, Love to You, Virginia. I received the cable. And because I received it and it said, Love to You, Virginia, I thought, oh, he's only sending love to Virginia. Ginny felt jealous because I was the one that got the cable. And, of course, it meant love to you, comma, in Virginia. But I only saw love to you, Virginia, and I didn't get any love. So the two of us, it was a scream.
Well, when Anne went, I mean, I was so wondering why you all didn't go with her.
There was no time. Anne had never met Baba.
Right.
We had introduced her to Baba. And this poor thing was mooning away. She missed the Sahavas in 58 by maybe a couple of weeks.
She said that you all were working the same paper she was.
Jenny was. Jenny was.
So you were a teacher?
No. 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 Oh, well, that was a summer job in 56. That was just a summer job of a school playground or something. I wasn't a real, you know, not regular teacher.
So then Jenny was working as a newspaper?
She was working for the same newspaper as a local reporter in the town. And Ann used to come by and pick up copy. Jenny ended up telling Ann about Baba. And I lived in the city then, and I came up a couple of times and sat and talked with Ann about Baba. And I got tired of beating around the bush about it, so one day I just told Ann Conwell, of course, you know he's the Christ. And Ann went like this, you know, went taken aback a bit. And then she had to think about that. This is just before he went away in 58 to the Sahara. I thought, you know, I better hurry up and tell her. But she couldn't get off work and think it just wasn't quite the right time.
Yes, she said she didn't have to have the
conditions. Yes, you have to be a Baba lover. And so she didn't come down, but by the time we came back, she'd had a dream about Baba. Very, yeah. And then after that, until 1961, she was desperate to see Baba. And so we went to a Monday night meeting, and it said the Monday night group received a cable that lovers could come to see Baba for 1 hour, but not at any great expense or distance. So we went over to Beryl Williams afterwards, and we were talking. See, wouldn't it be nice if Ann could go, you know, before this poor thing dies? And I called my sister up, and I said, couldn't we, she didn't have much money. So I said, couldn't we send Ann Connell if we pool our savings accounts and send her? And she said, sure, and we discussed it. We got all excited at Beryl's house. And the next day, the wheels started to move. I mean, this was, she got a passport, she got visas, she got everything. And in a couple of days, people just picked her up. And her boss said, well, you must go. Stuff like that. You know, just, can I have the weekend off? She says, I want to go to, you know, run Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday or something to go. And he says, well, you must go. Chance to go to India, sure. Even if it's for a weekend. And so that's how she got to go. But we waited and waited to hear, and the clock was ticking, and we said, she's here now, she's there now. Maybe she's meeting Baba now. And it was really wonderful. It's a wonderful experience to get people interested in Baba and then be able to send them like that. It really is nothing more thrilling. No. It was Anne's time. Yeah. By then, Anne and I, Baba called us Liz Ann, and we got a lot of letters back and forth as Liz Ann. Oh, yeah, sure. Just, things like there were times when Baba had us fasting or repeating his name or things, and he'd send individual orders, you know, to groups. We were the Liz Ann group, and then things like that.
Do you have a middle name?
Gillam.
I-A-M.
G-I-L? I-A-M. G-I-L-L. I-A-M. No, she didn't have a middle name. But her you know, original name before she was married was Sakala, same as mine.
Right. I mean, I've left it as Glor because at the time.
Yeah, right. Or you could make it Virginia Glor Sadowski or something.
And that came after all that.
Yes.
So I'm going
to leave it to later.
Just keep it cool.
Okay. But then people might know that it's Virginia.
Yeah.
It's the same Virginia.
And your date of birth?
May 1, 1930. May 28, 1927.
May
31st.
Uh-oh.
A Gemini.
And it's Deirdre. It's D-E-I-R-D-R-E.
That's right.
And she went by Deedee?
She goes by Deedee, yeah.
D-I-D-E.
No, D-E-E-D-E-E, I think, or D-E-D-E-E. Mm-hmm. Yes, and in 58 she was 11.
Yeah.
I think so, I'm afraid.
Okay, well, what I'll do is I'll go through all this.
Next time?
Okay.
I just don't want to miss the bus.
Yeah. Oh, you can tell it, Laura.
Okay. It's just making a phone without anybody here.
Okay.
Okay. One day while Baba was giving the Sahavas at Guru Prasad, he had the public come in, and there was a line all the way from Guru Prasad all the way back to the road, hundreds and hundreds of people coming to see Baba. And as the people filed by meeting Baba, I was watching. There was nothing else to do but sit there and watch Baba, and it was very, very entertaining to watch Baba. You're still there?
I spoke
to him. Oh, okay. I'll start again. One day Baba had the public come into Guru Prasad, and there was a line all the way from Guru Prasad all the way out to the road. And as people were filing by, we just sat there watching. And it was very interesting to watch the way Baba worked, the way he'd greet everybody and with great love. And an Indian soldier came and met Baba. He had, I think he was a sergeant, and he had a big garland for Baba. Got up to Baba and went to put it on him, and Baba was distracted, turned away, never did look at him. And the Indian kind of hung around funny. People pushed him on. And Baba never acknowledges his existence or being there. And he went on. Well, I kept sitting there and watching the people go by. And this man had gone all the way out to the road, gotten on the road, gotten another garland, and come back through the line again. The second he got up to Baba, somebody distracted him. Baba turned around and never saw him again. The man was furious, absolutely furious, and then went on. And I don't know what the purpose of it was, but I was awestruck by the whole thing. I mean, it was no accident that he was distracted. And usually, if Baba's distracted, he'll always get back to somebody. And I don't know for what reason. It's only between him and Baba. But it was interesting to see the way Baba worked. It was no accident the first time.
Taped it. Yeah. And he asked me if I wanted it, and I wasn't necessarily interested in having it. So maybe you can have it. Unless he's already erased it and used it for something else. And then someone else was taping it. Dara?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Yeah. I hope you have questions to ask because.
See, Liz told me, that your mom. She met Bob on Friday, and the next day was a Saturday.
Right, and I think that was the 19th of July. The big dinner party was on Sunday. You know, they have films of it and pictures of Bob. You know, there's a map. Behind him, the Pan American, right. So.
Was it you in the afternoon? She said that your mom was just coming into the city with a bird. And you just happened to be along.
We had a bird that the cat had caught, a little baby bird, so we decided to take this bird in. I mean, we took it into our home and we sent to California for mealworms and we got a box of worms in the mail. But, we just didn't know why it wasn't getting better. I mean, the cats hadn't really injured it, and it had some. Yeah. So my mother had heard about this man in New York City, and then she'd gotten heard from Liz. Really, she had to go see this Meher Baba, and she said, "Well, I can kill two birds with one stone." And I don't remember where we went first. I remember riding in the taxi with the bird in the cage. But the man, the bird doctor, didn't even know it was a robin. And then we went to see Baba. And the way she describes her experience is very, very different from my memory. So I begin to wonder what's memory for me and what's fantasy. And then I realized that for me personally, that's equally as important. I believe what I need to believe. Well, she said Baba was on a chaise lounge, and she had the same experience that Liz did, and she thought to herself, what a cheap trick, they've got spotlights on them, and she starts looking for the spotlights and realized that the light was coming from him, but there were no spotlights on him, and so she talked with him a little bit, and she had the bird with her, and I think it's one of those little misunderstandings that's kind of gotten around. People say, oh, your mom's the lady who took the bird to be healed by Baba. It had nothing to do with that. We just happened to have this. Well, I'm sure Baba wanted to see that bird, or the bird wouldn't have been there in the first place.
Yeah, maybe I'll get a shawl. She probably does. I've only heard Liz and my mother talk in public once. The rest it's been kitchen stuff. And for 20 years, I took it all. Well, I did more than take it for granted. I really resented it. So my mother wouldn't speak about Baba around me because I was on a tear. Hopefully, I've put some of the pieces together. And my theory behind it is I hope it was a good-hearted tear, you know, that when Baba left in 1958, we went up to the airport to say goodbye to him, and my heart broke. And I was a very reserved child. I never allowed others to see my feelings, happy or sad. And I just wept and sobbed openly all the way back on the bus, knowing I would never see him again. And I mean, he was a human being to be around. He was the ultimate grandfather. And as a child, it was very easy to be around Baba because there were no corrections. It was just everything was okay. I think he inspired, even in children, just to be a good child. You know, I'm sure there were kids there that were fidgety, you know, little ones. But, you know, it's hard. I just read something that Muhammad ended prayers one afternoon because the children were getting fidgety. And he said, it's enough prayers, the children are crying, or something like that, which I liked. Because I've reread, trying to see if it would kind of spark my memory, like the God-man, because that's the most concise thing written down about the 58 Sahavas. And Baba would say, do you want discourses or jokes? Personally, I prefer jokes, but you all want discourses, so it'll be discourses. Or sometimes he would stop and say, now it's time for jokes. Yeah. I was there the first day in the barn. It was wonderful. And the next day we were told that the children weren't allowed to go to the barn because they would be a distraction. And I was 11, so I was one of the older children. I mean, John Haynes was younger than I was. There seemed to be a sort of a gap between me and then there were the 16-year-olds, right? And they were being treated as like young adults. So we were sent out to where the playground is now, but all it was a spit of sand in the hot Carolina sun with a volleyball net, a volleyball, and this fellow, I think his name was Joe Blake, who was hired to be the recreation director or something for the children. And I was in a rage. It was an internal rage at the unfairness of it. I was a real American kid. You know, this is a free country. I can do what I want to. I was a big believer in the Constitution. I was really impressed by that. There was free speech, and here I wasn't allowed to go to the barn because I was a child. I mean, the unfairness and the inequality of it all was outrageous. And I think it was just an internal rage. And my impression, or what I would like to remember about it, is that somehow Baba heard me because, right, and Baba hadn't made that decision. That had come from some adult. I won't even say it was Elizabeth or Kitty or something like that. And but Baba came back and announced that afternoon that any children who could come to the barn and behave, be quiet. Or not, and it wasn't even be good, but just if you can sit quietly, you may stay in the barn. So I was back in the barn the next day, knowing that righteousness had won out. And I remember that, to my way of thinking, the foolish people used to stand out on the road to wait for Baba's car to come. But there was always such a crush to get in the barn. I was darned if I was going to sit in the last row because I was small enough as it was. So I'd let the foolish people wait outside for Baba's car, and Baba would come to the barn around 10, and around 9:30 I'd head out on the trail to the barn and I'd run all the way and go inside and sit on the rug in front of the chair. Sure, sure. See, my mother remembers Baba on a chaise lounge. I remember Baba sitting in a chair with other people around him. And hers was like, so I'm thinking maybe she had a more private audience, and then I went in when there were more people around, more like a line.
Yeah, so, I mean, the first time you went, you sort of didn't know this was anybody special. You just, somebody around, you know, your mother was a good.
I had gotten used to having a strange 50s experience. My experience as a child was not that of other children. My mother, you know, for a while that she was interested in Christian Science, so I was trying to heal myself by positive thinking. And things were always unusual. My mother would introduce me to unusual people. I don't know what I thought, but I do know I really enjoyed the people that were around Baba. They were very loving and very kind to me, which had not been my experience of the world. And people were online going up and hugging Baba. And I saw that was what the protocol was, but it was okay. I mean, and little girls and old men, you kind of go, I don't want to hug an old stranger, you know. And but it seemed, it wasn't at either extreme, like ecstatic or rotten. It was just perfectly normal that I should go and hug and kiss this person. And he gave me a grape. My memory of it is that he put the grape in my mouth, but that could be just what I need to believe. You know, so that's, or at least leave me with that impression, because it's pretty comforting sometime when the rocking of the boat gets rough. I go, well, I'll put a grape in my mouth, so. Verbally, intellectually, my lasting impression is that the whole experience was one of a panorama of an English wildflower garden, which is sort of paradoxical, but I saw one in like a House Beautiful or a House and Garden once, and there were these wildflowers in this garden. It was so, the colors, the beauty of it, the tangle of the colors was really stunning, and I found that that was the only way to describe my visual impression. Because that's what touches me the most generally is visually. I'm a starer. I don't meditate with my eyes shut. If I'm sitting in Baba's bedroom up in the tomb, I look at other people. I watch what's happening. Nobody ever told me it wasn't polite to stare. So that's how my impressions are, very visual. And then afterwards, we just started going to Fred Nellis on Monday night.
So your father was?
No, my father was hostile. But it wasn't just because it was Baba. My father was hostile. My father was, he was my stepfather, he was a very angry man.
Where's Glory?
Glory's from, he's living in Zurich now. He's a Swiss. As far as I know, I haven't seen him in a long, 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 long time. But he was a very, very harsh disciplinarian. That's just what is.
You didn't have any sister,
no? No, I had a kitty who had babies. And we lived kind of out in the country. So, like when I studied ballet, you know, whatever we did, if we went to a museum or to the ballet or to the theater, it was met with a lot of derogatory comments about what about, I think, gypsies or, bless you, bohemians, that was the word. So we used to go to Fred Nellis every Monday night, and these were the people I started being around. I mean, they were human beings I could just go stand near and kind of lean against, and I knew their arms would be around me. And I'd be the only child there. And I didn't enjoy, I kind of tolerated and sat through, you know, the 5 minutes of silence with the lights out or the prayer of repentance or the master's prayer being said or discourse.